I just so thrilled last week with the response that I got to the teaching that we did on Jesus talking to his disciples, and he said, some of you standing here will not die before you see the kingdom come. It was just amazing, your response. Maybe I finally learned how to do this without making people mad and upset and leave the church. I hope I have. But it is just great just to hear your comments and the good things that I heard from it. So that's encouraging to me. Today's lesson is going to be similar, not similar in the kingdom aspect, but similarly interesting, I do believe to you. I believe you're really going to enjoy it. I want to ask you to start with, where is the coolest place that you've ever been? I mean, when it came time for you to go home, you didn't want to go. You wanted to stay right there. In fact, even talking about coming back home depressed you. Where is that place? You don't have to say it out loud, but just think of something like that. You see, I believe that inside of us, God has genetically built us inside to desire a place that's not common, that's not normal. He wants us to experience new things and desire to go different, to a different area. And in the spiritual dimension, it's really interesting. C.S. Lewis said this in his book, Mere Christianity. He said, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. And that's what I want to talk to you today about, is another world, the transfiguration, another world. I really like that. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to deviate just a little bit from my normal system of teaching and exegeting. What I want to do is I want to read the entire passage, and then there's just certain elements in this passage that I want to draw out and look at because I don't have an opportunity to talk about them much. So in Luke 9:28, let's read. About 8 days after Jesus said this, now this is where he just said that some of you standing here are not going to die until you see the kingdom come. About 8 days later, he took Peter and John and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. Now, why did they get a special invitation? What's so hot about them? Went up with them to pray in a mountain. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. To men, Moses and Elijah appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they'd seen. Well, I guess so. Who'd believe them? Oh, yeah, Peter, you saw Moses. Sure you did. Yeah, I am. Elijah too, huh? Oh, yeah. Well, whatever. You know, I mean, of course they didn't tell anybody. So I want to deviate a little bit from my normal system. Normally I go line by line and we tear it apart. But there are certain things in here that I can really amplify that I just don't get an opportunity to talk about. And I really think they're going to be interesting to you. So Jesus invited Peter and John and James to a special time of prayer. Up on a mountain. Let's go up on the mountain and pray. Why a mountain? Isn't that shade tree good enough? I mean, why do we got to work at this? Why do I have to climb a mountain? And I want to just share this with you. You know, prayer's not always easy. Sometimes you got to work at praying. Sometimes you got to work hard to get to where you need to pray through to. And it's not easy. And I was thinking about that also. You know, I was thinking about that also. It would be so intimidating for Jesus just to ask me to go pray with him. Would I pray the right things? You know, should I talk in tongues? Should I not? You know, how do I pray with him? would I say the right things? Would he think my prayer is a joke? Then it dawned on me. You know what? In reality, he asked me every day to go pray with him. Every single day. And he never, ever thinks my prayer is a joke. Never does he. Does he think my presence? And we're learning, see, in verse 18 of chapter 9, we learned that Jesus was praying and he took his disciples with him. And from that particular prayer time, he asked two questions. Who do the crowd say I am? Who do you say I am? And so we learned that in times of prayer, one thing that prayer is to do is get God to ask us questions, because it's through those questions that we look and ask ourselves questions. And get our lives straightened out, because there's always something that he's working out for us. But in this day, in this particular time of prayer, I'm seeing something way, way more. You see, prayer transforms us. It changes us. It transfigures us. It does this to anyone, even Jesus. Now think about that. You know, if there was anybody who didn't need to be transformed and transfigured, it's Jesus. But he got transformed and transfigured while he was praying. And in all of our lives, one thing that prayer will always do for us is change us, is transfigure us into what we need to be. I want to look at several verses looking at this as we work through here. Luke 9:29 says this, as he was praying, his face did what? It changed. And his clothes, what's up with this? His clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. He had special clothes. Now, I want to look at this word changed in the Greek. It's the Greek word heteros. And what it means is the other. It means another. The other of two. Quality. I.e., one not of the same nature. Not of the same nature of form, or not of the same nature of class, or not of the same nature of kind. Different. Jesus didn't look the same. He put on a different face. His countenance changed. And when any of us pray, when we really get serious about prayer and we really work at praying, we're going to change. Our countenance changes. We begin to express and to show God's love, God's mercy, God's peace. We literally change. In Matthew's recording of this, in Matthew 17:2, it says this. There he was transfigured. Luke says changed. Matthew says transfigured. He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Now the word transfigured is the Greek word metamorpho. And what that means is to change into another form. We get our word, metamorphosis, from it. Jesus morphed. We see sci-fi movies where, you know, an alien morphs, or a person morphs into an alien. You change into another world. And what prayer will do for us is take us into another world. It's not just so we can give our Christmas list to God. It's not so we can just ask him to watch over us and protect us and bless us. It's so that we can morph. That we can change, transfigure, transform. In John 8:12, Jesus says this, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Now look at that. The light's not shining on him. The light's shining from him. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Light doesn't shine on Jesus. Light shines from Jesus. In the book of Revelation, in chapters 21 and 22, it talks about the New Jerusalem. It's the vision of the holy city, the Lamb's wife. And it says there that they don't need any light fixtures, that they don't need a moon or the sun or the stars. They don't need anything like that, because the Lamb is the light thereof. Jesus gives light, and it shines on those who follow him, those in his kingdom, those in his church, his wife. But he also says this in Matthew 5:14. He says, you are the light of the world. You're a city. You're a city on a hill, and it cannot be hidden. Not only does the light of Jesus shine on you and me, but we also give off light. We have light, and our light shines from us. So when we pray, something transpires within us, and we glow. We glow with the presence of God in our life as we morph into something totally different. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. I think that's so cool. So what we're doing here is we're seeing that prayer is going to change us. We're going to morph. Now, it says here that his clothes shined like a flash of lightning. Did he have special clothes? I mean, did he drag along an extension cord, plugged in so he could just flash and have big battery packs in his pocket so that he could? Of course not. Oh, maybe he did. Maybe that's why the soldiers gambled for his garments. But he didn't. We all know he didn't. So what's going on here with this clothes thing? What should we gather from this clothes thing? Here's what I want you to see. See, the simplest things that wrap around Jesus has opportunities to flash, opportunities to express its brilliance. Even the simplest things like me. When I wrap around him, even I can be brilliant. Even I show off flashes of brilliance from time to time. Occasionally someone will say to me that I said something or wrote something or I did something that really ministered to them and to their family, and it changed their lives sometimes. Well, that's because you take time to wrap around him. You work at praying. You take the invitation that he's given and you spend time with him. And then from that, something comes out of you. Some light, some glow, some flash of brilliance that is able to touch the lives of people. And I know that some of you do some of the most amazing things. You minister to people. You spend your time, your money, your gas, whatever. And you go do stuff for folk. You minister to people. You love on them. You take care of them. And that's just God transforming and glowing from you and through you and transfiguring your life so that you change and you're really in another world. You're living a different life. And this is what happens to us as we allow ourselves to wrap around him and him around us, and we experience his presence as we pray with him. Our face changes. We begin to express his love, express his mercy, show off his goodness and his kindness and his forgiveness. And we just shine. We shine forth. Let's look at the scripture. In Luke 9:30. It says here, and this is kind of where I'm really wanting to go. In Luke 9:30 it says this. Two men. Now I'm going to get you to respond to me. Two what?
Men.
Two men. Not angels is the point. Two men who Moses and Elijah appeared. They did what? They appeared. These are dead guys, you understand. Appeared in glorious splendor. Talking. And not only did they appear, they're talking. These dead guys. Talking to Jesus about his death. And they talked to him about his departure. I want you to see this. Talking with Jesus, they spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. And there's several things here I want to really get us to understand. So Moses and Elijah showed up during this prayer light show. And they come up while Jesus is here praying. But they talked. And they weren't talking about his death. They were talking about his what? His departure. And here's the first point that I want us to see from that particular passage. Is death is not the end. Death is only a departure into another world. We have this wonderful gift of life. And we're given the opportunity in it to glow. to receive Jesus within us so that we can glow in this life. And if we take that opportunity and we do it right, we depart into a better world. And if we don't take the opportunity, we reject Him. We're going to depart still. But it's into a bad world. It's into a world of hell. So they talk to Him about His departure. And departure is for all of us. Nobody's going to miss the departure. So they talked to Him about the departure. But they also said, it says, two men. A couple of things here. First of all, in the departure, men will be men. And women will be women. You won't become an angel. You're not going to get wings or feathers. Hallelujah. I wouldn't want to take care of all those feathers. We're going to be men. We're going to be women. But there were two dead people. Well, Moses died, and Elijah turned up missing. He was captured up in a whirlwind and taken away in a fiery chariot. This was thousands of years earlier. Just two men came from another world, and they appeared to them. That's interesting. Let's ask you a question. How many of you have ever experienced something like that, where somebody who had departed years prior appeared to you? You don't have to raise your hands. Just think a moment. See, I have. I've experienced that. Have you ever felt the presence of someone who had departed? Have you ever seen the presence of somebody who had departed? Dad, what are you talking about? Ghosts? You believe in ghosts? No, I don't believe in ghosts. I believe in departing. I believe in another world. Well, you're quiet. See, that's what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about some of this stuff. I don't get to talk about this much. I want us to understand. Moses and Elijah appeared to them. And it wasn't weird. I want us to see this. So I want you to realize this isn't that crazy, that weird. I've heard a lot of stories about these kinds of things happening to people. One of the most ones that I've heard was the most compelling came from our own nieces. They were little girls when this took place. Where they lived, there was some woods next to them, and down in the woods there was this creek. And they would go down there and play. And they began telling stories about this woman that would down there and watching them and telling them to be careful playing around the water and be careful what they did and kind of just watching them, making sure they were safe. And then later on, they were in the bathroom taking a bath together, and their mother was incapacitated, and they started talking about this woman that came in there and said, be careful, don't be playing in the tub, don't fall, don't hurt yourself. And so it really got their mother and their grandmother especially very curious. What's going on? What's this woman you're talking about? And so they began to describe her. So they said, wait a minute, let's go get a picture. So they brought a picture of Judy's mother, their great-grandmother. Their great-grandmother. And they brought a picture in there of her. And they said, they looked at it and they said, that's her, that's the woman, except she's got white hair now. Margaret had been departed many years. They had never seen Margaret. But they positively identified Margaret as the woman who was watching over them. A lot of people have these times, perhaps. You've had a time. I've seen my mom. We kept my dad in the last year of his life or so. He walked with a walker. Many of you remember Daddy. And before he passed away, he comes walking out one morning. Me and Judy there at the house. And he walks around and comes into the living room under the arch there. And he stands there and he looks at me and he says, Delbert Ray, I want you to go buy a boat. I said, where'd that come from? He walks over there, sits down in his chair, and he said, your mother come to the door last night and stood in the door mother's been dead 6 years at this time. And stood in the door and told me to buy you a boat. And I said, amen, brother. Hallelujah. And guess what I did? I bought a boat. Well, all right then. Hey, there might be something to this. You know what I'm talking about? So, I mean, Judy's sister's husband, my brother-in-law, he was sitting at the house, he and his wife, Brenda, Judy's sister, and he looks over there, and he starts laughing. He looks over at these chairs, and Brenda says, what are you laughing at? He says, you don't see them? And Brenda says, who? And he calls their names. They're some of his best friends. And he looks at her, and he gets a little frustrated, and he says, Brenda, you don't see them? And she says, no, Jimmy, they're dead. And he said, no, they're sitting right there. And another niece, an older niece, Franklin's daughter, she saw her daddy after he had departed. She saw her daddy. Except all their hair is white now. Something happens there in this transformation. It's like the Son of Man being seen in Revelation chapter 1, hair white like wool. Glorious body. So this is happening, and I hear these stories all the time. I've seen my mother, and I hear people talking about it. And it's just these kinds of things you don't want to really talk about and discuss because you sound weird, you sound crazy. But I'll bet you, well, I won't bet. Shouldn't bet anyway. But many of you have had experiences like that, and you think you're crazy. You think you're weird. No, you're not. Moses and Elijah appeared. That's what the Bible says. And they didn't just appear. They talked. So what I'm wanting us to see here is this another world thing. When you pray, when you get serious with God in prayer, you just don't know what's going to happen. You know, you're an alien. You're going to enter into another nation, into another realm, another dimension. So, you're not weird. You're not crazy. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, what is that about? Who could that be? Look at it. Rounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. What's this talking about? It says, listen, you're being watched. Don't sin. These guys are witnesses. I want you to know there is a departure into another world. Luke 9:32 talks here. What happening? 9:32 says, Peter and his companions were very what? Very everybody here? They were very what? Very sleepy. Okay. But when they saw, but then they became fully awake, they saw his glory and they saw what? The two men standing with him. Now, did they really see all this? Did they really hear all this? Yes, they did. But they were sleepy. Superficially, we could say that when Jesus said, I'm going to go pray, it was like telling them to go take a nap, right? I mean, it was like they went and slept through some mighty important times. Remember Gethsemane. They went to Gethsemane, and there they slept while Jesus was praying. He says, I want you to stay. I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray a while. Can you not pray an hour? He'd go off, and three times he came back. You remember the story. They were asleep. But here, they're sleepy. And it was so interesting to me, because I want to give them a little space here, and some of us a little space for dozing off in church, because I think you should stay awake. I think it's an important time. But every once in a while, you know, I notice somebody doing what they did. So anyway, I want to give us some space too. So let's look at this, because the word that's used here, sleepy, is not the same Greek word that is used in Gethsemane when they were asleep. And I think this is vitally important to understanding this other world that I'm trying to get us opened up to today. So I want us to see this word here. There it is. Hoopnos. This is the word sleepy. This is the word that we're reading about today. I want you to see a hoopnos. It's subsalience. Now, what that, I had to look it up. It means under. Subsalience. Under, it means to sink. It means to sleep. We get our English word hypnosis from this word. The word that's used in Gethsemane is kathudo. It means to drop off to sleep. It's the normal, you're sleepy, you're tired, you're wiped out, and you just kind of go to sleep. Nothing spiritual about kathudo. I do it every night. What these guys had done is they had had a big Passover meal, they had drank, and they were, man, they were wiped out. It had been a long day, and they were trying to pray, but they kept falling asleep. And this is kind of what I do. You know, we're trying to watch a movie, and I'll fall asleep. And there's nothing spiritual about me sitting in my chair asleep snoring. There's just nothing really spiritual about that. But when you hypnose, now that's a totally different thing. When you hypnose, you go into a trance, into an hypnotic state, and you go into another world. This was interesting to me because they were sleepy. They were in hypnosis. This is what was happening to them right here. And if you've ever experienced this, you know exactly what it is. You know what I'm talking about. Because things are so real. I mean, you hear things like they're, like it's just there. You see things. It's in another world. You're visiting this other place. It's quite intense and quite amazing. And there are several times when we see this in the scriptures. I want to show you a couple of them. In Matthew 1:24, Joseph, the mother of Mary, the stepfather of Jesus. Matthew 1:24 says this. Then Joseph, being raised from hypnos, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Now, if you recall, Joseph was struggling about Mary's pregnancy. He even said that he had considered putting her away or not marrying her, divorcing her in their custom and their ceremony and the way they did things, not even marrying her because he didn't like her being pregnant. So he was put into hypnos to hear an angel. And the angel said, Joseph, this really is the Son of the Holy Spirit. He got up out of his hypnos, and he went, and he married Mary. Changed his life forever. A hypnos will do that. One of these experiences where you go into another world. It's an amazing, amazing experience. We see another hypnos in Acts chapter 20 and verse 9. Here Paul is preaching. He's preached all day. He's preached all night. He's still preaching. And in 29 it says this, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into deep hypnos, deep hypnotic place. And Paul was long preaching, and he sunk down with sleep, with hypnos, and fell down from the third story, or from the third loft, and was taken up dead. Now, if you fall out of your chair, that's okay. We'll pray for you, and you'll be okay if you're in a hypnos. Now, I want us to see this guy, Paul's long preaching. Now, you just think I preach a long time now, but we used to. I mean, I would put people to sleep, but it was. This is a good thing what was happening here. He just wasn't dozing off on Paul. He was in another world. This is happening from time to time. Now, this also can happen in a negative state. It can happen in a negative way as well. In the book of Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, there the apostle Paul writes, "Awake from slumber, put aside deeds of darkness." I don't have that in your notes, but I have you the reference there. And what he's talking to here are actually Christians who are hypnosing, but not going into the glow and the light, but going into the darkness. Christians can hypnose negatively. And we can sink into be in a hypnotic state that's of sin, that's of darkness. Maybe you know somebody who seems to be hypnotically controlled by sin and darkness. And they maybe even say something to you, "I don't know what came over me." Well, now you can tell. You went into dark hypnos. And so there's a warning along with this hypnos thing. But this sleepy hypnos is experiencing the supernatural. It's going into a spiritual place. And we hear about these things happening through the Scriptures. The Apostle Paul attempted to express one and explain one that he went through. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 21. It says there, I know a man. Now he's talking about himself. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. It was 14 years later, but it was still as real to Paul 14 years later as it was then. And that's what a hoopnos is. You never forget the realness of a hoopnos. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. But God knows. What is he saying? I think I had an out-of-the-body experience, but I'm not sure. And I know this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I don't know, but God knows, was caught up. That's harpazo, same word that's used in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17 we talked about last time, where the dead in Christ arise first, and we which are alive and remain should be caught up. But Paul didn't go anywhere. He just hoopnosed. He went into this trance, caught up to paradise, Paul was. He heard. He did what? He heard inexpressible things. Things that man, they just can't talk about. They're not permitted to tell. And the reality of that is that they sound so crazy. they sound so weird that people just don't believe you anyway if you attempt to. And I'm going to share with you a couple of hoopnoses that I've had to me, still today, even though I know something happened, sound crazy. But this is the experience. The Apostle Peter also had one. Not after this one, he had another one. It's in Acts 10:10. And here he is. He's at the tanner's house. And it says, while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. A trance. We're going to look at that word in just a second. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. So he has this trance, this vision. Now that word trance is ecstasis, and what it means is a throwing of the mind out. It's out of its normal state. You're in a different place. Alienation, you're in a different world. An alienation of mind. He saw a very strange vision, and the vision was this huge sheet coming down out of heaven. He's on the top of a house, and he's waiting for dinner to get ready, and he sees this big sheet coming down. It's got all these kinds of animals in it. And there are clean animals and unclean animals, and he hears a voice that says, arise, kill, and eat. And Peter says, no, I can't eat them. They're unclean. He says, don't you call unclean what I've cleaned. He knew what that meant. Knock on the door. People coming from Cornelius' house, Gentiles. He goes with them. And because of this hoopnos, Gentiles, you and me, are allowed to come into the kingdom of God. Hoopnoses are important. They change our lives. They give us direction in life. They're vital when you experience one. Don't pass it off that you're just crazy, that you're losing your mind. It's another world. Apostle John had a bunch of them. Here's, as soon as I say this, you'll understand, it's the Apostle John that wrote the book of Revelation. He's having them all the time. He's on the Isle of Patmos, it says. And there he has these four visions. And he says, it was in the Spirit. That's what he calls them. Paul says, Peter says, I was in a trance. Paul says, I was caught up into the third heaven. John says, I was in the Spirit. I want to read them to you because they're so vitally important in understanding the book of Revelation. In Revelation 1:10, it says, I was in the Spirit. I was having this supernatural experience. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That would be Sunday. And I heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet. Now, take it down just a second. Let me explain something to you. The first words of the book of Revelation are this. The revelation of Jesus Christ, not Antichrist. In fact, and I know a lot of you don't know this, but the word Antichrist is not in the book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, all of these in the Spirit encounters are really him dividing up the book of Revelation for us, showing us four individual revelations of Jesus Christ. So the first one, he says, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice behind me as a trumpet. And when he turned, he saw the being of the Son of Man standing there, hair white like wool, double-edged sword coming out of his mouth, girded with a golden girdle, feet bronze, and eyes of glaring fire. He saw the Son of Man. It was a vision of the Son of Man. The second one, okay, put it back up. Revelation 4:2 says, and immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the mount. And this is the revelation of the lamb slain. He says, the elder came to me, and they were weeping because they couldn't find anybody to open the books. And he says, oh, don't weep, don't cry, behold the lamb. And look, and he sees the lamb. And it's a revelation of the Lamb of God. And from that comes the seals, and comes all the horses, and the vials all come forth. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. And he's seeing this. He's seeing this in a hoopnose situation, in the Spirit. Here's another one in Revelation 17:3. And so he carried me away in the Spirit, this spiritual situation, this translation, this transformation, this going into another world, in the Spirit, into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. This is a revelation of Babylon, but really, when you read on, it's really a revelation of Jesus Christ as he rides through Babylon. King of kings and Lord of lords, with a sword and with a rod of iron and breaking the nations. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. One more. Revelation 21:10. And he carried me away in the Spirit. A supernatural encounter in the heavenlies to a great and a high mountain. And he showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. This is a revelation of the Lamb's wife. The holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, which you and I, we are. This is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And these four visions separate the book of Revelation so that we can get it. But John had these in a hoopnose, in the Spirit, in an encounter in another world, in another dimension. I've personally experienced a few. And again, I'm like the Apostle Paul. I really hesitate to even talk about them. Because they're just so weird. They just sound crazy. But I'm going to. I was the first one that I ever experienced. I was a brand new believer. I probably hadn't been saved a year. And I was working at the time at Rushton Cotton Mills, with an organization of Dundee Cotton Mills back then. And I was on the what called the graveyard shift. It was from 12 a.m. until 8 o'clock a.m. And yeah. I said, I think at 12 o'clock midnight until 8 o'clock a.m. And what I would do is every night around 4 o'clock, as was my habit, I had my office, and then behind my office was another office. And this other office, I would go and I would pray. I would come in. I would lock my door about 4 o'clock for my lunchtime, my lunch break. And I would go back into my boss's office, and there was a folding chair. I would kneel there, and I would pray. I was so hungry for God back then. I would fast 40 days and 10 days. I'd go on these long fasts. I would pray all the time. I was studying scriptures. I was just one hungry guy for God. I would do anything to get closer to Him. And so I'd go back there, and I would pray, and I was kneeling at this folding chair. This particular night, and there was nothing abnormal happening, but I began to sink into this trance, into this situation. I began to sink into God. It wasn't frightening. It was very peaceful, but I began to feel something stirring way down in my gut and my belly, and I began to grunt and to groan, and the next thing I knew is these words, these syllables began coming out of my mouth, And the result of that hoopnose, that experience, was my being baptized with the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in tongues. Now, I know this sounds so weird to some of you, but this is how it happened to me. This is why it's so difficult for people to talk me out of the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues, because nobody ever taught me about this. Nobody ever told me about the Holy Ghost. Nobody ever told me about talking in tongues. It just happened to me in a hoopnose time. Changed my life. Okay, so the next night I'm going back in there again. You know, I'm ready now. I'm ready. It's not going to catch me off guard this time. I'm ready. I'm going to have a big time tonight. I go back in there. I'm excited. I'm anticipating. I kneel. I start praying. And nothing happens. Nothing took place. I just prayed. Oh, what are you trying to tell us, Dom? Listen, he's got to invite you to the mountaintop. for that to happen. He said, I want Peter and I want James and I want John to go, and I want them to experience this with me. You just don't pull up a hoop nose. You just don't make it happen. Jesus takes you to one. They're available. You can have them. But I'm telling you, if you pray and if you seek God, you're going to go into another world. My second time that I'll share with you, I was now pastor of this church. I think though at the time it was called the Church at Lafayette. It wasn't Lifegate Church. We hadn't changed the name yet. And we were at our home, and we were there. And we were laying in the bed. It was late at night. It was a Saturday night. I remember that because it's always hard for me to go to sleep on Saturday night. It's just a warfare thing I go through. And I'm laying there, you know, so I'll be rehearsing the sermon in my head, or I'll start praying, or I'll just do what I need to do to try to get some sleep and some rest before Sunday morning. It's just a warfare thing that I battle with. Well, this specific night, I'm laying there, and I'm beginning to pray, and I start seeing something, and I'm thinking, ooh, what is this? And I'm seeing this crazy vision. And what it is a church building, the side of a church building, and it had stained glass windows, big arch ones like this, big 12 feet or so high ones, and it was big arch windows, and it was stained glass, and I was standing outside, but it was though the thing was turned around, and I was looking at the inside of the thing, and standing in this plate glass, in the stained glass window, is this horrific-looking pig thing. It's a face of a pig with horns, and it's standing there, and it's standing upright on two pig legs and pig feet, but its hands and its arms are human. You see, I'm telling you, it's weird stuff, this stuff, and that's why you don't talk about it. So I'm asking, what is this? What is this? And what I began to sense, what I began to feel, is this is the demonic activity. This is the power and the principality over this region, over this area. I began to hear that. I never heard the word Jezebel, but I sensed something very similar like that. So I began to question, what is this? What does this mean? Show me something. Tell me something. And here's what I began to hear, is that you know, back in the days of the Civil War, this whole area was consumed in war. Just up the street here, Chickamauga, all those people died. And the men of this area and this whole region were forced to fight and forced to battle right there. Died, they came. Those that didn't die came back maimed and lame, not only physically but mentally. And they were no longer able to take care of their families, and so the women had to step up. And what the women had to do was take care of the animals, take care of the farms, had to chop the wood, had to bring in income, had to pay the bills. They had to take care of the families because the men were no longer able. But this thing became a stronghold, and it became a principality and a power over this area. And it rules and it controls. It controls churches, it controls families, it controls generations, and it's come down through the generations to ours. What I've sensed that the Lord was showing me was that this is the principality and the power that you're going to battle, that you're going to fight with. We've watched it work, but we've been aware of it ever since. So, well, I want you to see this stuff. I want you to hear me. Listen, because when you experience these things, I'm telling you this because I want to also warn you. You're invited by Jesus to this, to a mountain experience, to a supernatural experience where you will see things and you will hear things. But the warning is this. See, some people have situations like this because they just had too much chili for supper. And or they had overdid medication or took something and they're, you know, having hallucinations. Some people, they weren't like that. Some people desire to be spiritual and sound spiritual and look spiritual. And so they create these things. They didn't really happen. They wouldn't talk about them. And so they're created. So they can sound and look spiritual. And some people are very serious about it. They're really desiring hopeness, and they're begging to experience these things. But here's where you got to be careful, because the devil will always oblige you. He'll let you see things. He'll show you things in darkness. He'll let you come to a place where you believe you really had a spiritual encounter. And it really wasn't. Luke 9:34. while he was speaking, Peter, he said, let's build these tabernacle things. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them. What did this cloud do? It enveloped them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. Now, I could talk forever about this cloud. You got to think of the glory cloud, the Shekinah glory cloud, the cloud that Israel, the children of Israel followed around for 40 years. You got to think about the cloud that the Son of Man comes on. You got to think about the Shekinah glory cloud. This is the cloud. This is a supernatural cloud that enveloped them. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my Son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." Don't listen to Moses. Don't listen to Elijah. They were good in their day. Moses had a purpose. Listen to him then. Elijah had a purpose as a prophet. Listen to him then. But today you listen to Jesus. He's my Son. He's the one I've chosen. Listen to him. Now, this cloud thing is an enormous thing, and we'll talk about it one day. But here's what I want you to see. What happens when you experience this out of the world thing, another world? When you experience this, you'll hear a voice. And what the voice will tell you is he'll point you to Jesus. This is my Son. You listen to him. If you have an experience like this, and it doesn't point you to Jesus, and it doesn't tell you to listen to him, you're in the wrong cloud. You better get out of that hoopnos, because you're about to sink down into darkness. It better point you to Jesus. And it better, most of all, tell you to listen to him. Right? Here's what I'm wanting us to really kind of get a hold of today. It's all I'm going to talk about from this passage. I had a lot of more notes and stuff, but I wanted to just really talk about this because I just don't have the opportunity to talk about these specific things. But I want you to know that there is a transformation and a transfiguration available for all of us. But what we've got to do is we've got to make an effort to pray. We got to allow a time with him where we wrap ourselves up around him. There is transformation. And if you will follow him up on the mountain and experience his presence, wrap around him, I promise you, you're going to glow. You're going to have a transformation and a transfiguration that's unbelievable. You're going to have that. You're going to hear things that are unspeakable. You can't speak them. You will see things. You may see your Moses, your Elijah. You will see things. You'll glow. You'll have flashes of brilliance. You'll sound kind of stupid and kind of weird. But you really just had a hoopness experience. See, we all have the opportunity to have this life, this great gift, this amazing gift of life, where we can glow in it. Don't miss it. Because the truth of the matter is, there's a departure for all of us. And the departure takes us into another world. The world is real. Those worlds are real. Hell is real. Heaven is real. And there's a departure for all of us. And I'll tell you what's the truth. It'll be here before we know it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, I just pray I've done a decent job. And I ask you that our hearts and our minds have heard it. So Lord, I want to minister now with the people. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, let me just, first of all, I've thrown a lot of stuff out to you, but how many's really ever experienced, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, how many's ever really experienced a time where you felt or sensed the presence of someone who had departed? Have you ever done that? Look at this. It's amazing. Whoa. Listen, I want to tell you, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, listen, you're not crazy. You're not weird. Moses and Elijah appeared. Now, what these situations are to do for you is to point you to Jesus. That's another thing. Let me ask you this. How many of us has ever had a hoopness where we felt like we sunk into God in this hypnotic state and we saw things in a spiritual dimension? How many has ever experienced that? See your hands? Great, great. That's a good number of us. Great. Listen, here's what that was about. You got to understand. It's for something coming your way. It's for something. It's not just to give you this goosebump experience. It's not to just give you this tingly feeling. Oh, look how spiritual I am. No. It's to prepare you for the warfare and the battling that you're going to be facing. There's things that are happening in your life. And God takes us to these places so that He can prepare us for what's coming and down the road for us. One more question. How many want to? How many desire to get into a place with the Lord? You wrap yourself around Him and you feel His presence and you just kind of sink into Him. And you go into this situation and this experience where God is so real. You can hear Him and see the things and just experience His presence in such a dynamic way. How many want to experience that? If that's you, raise your hand. If you just desire, let's see your best. Just about all of us. Praise God. Father, I do now. I pray for these. Lord, I just ask You that You will take what they've heard and Lord, they'll be able to use it and utilize this understanding and this knowledge. And they'll know they're not crazy. This is God. Moses and Elijah did appear. And these guys did go into the spirit dimension, into another world. And I pray, Lord God, that You'll not let us fight with it, but wrap our heads around it so we can understand it and utilize it for our lives, that we can glow, we can become the lights that we need to be. One more thing, and I'll close. Some of you just aren't where you need to be in God. And all this Christian stuff, all this stuff I talked about, it kind of sounds kind of weird. But I'll tell you what, God wants to have a time with you. He wants you to experience His presence. He wants you to go with Him to a place where He'll pray and He'll be able to use you and use your life so that you can glow, that you can be flashes of brilliance. You can be so expressive, like a flash of lightning. He wants you to wrap yourself around Him. If that's you, you're just not where you need to be with God today. But you want to be. If that's you, will you slip your hand out and let me just pray for you? I see a hand here. Any others? Any others? Yes, I see. Any others? See you.